Now, I talked last week about creating an atmosphere for miracles. And this is important, and that you could consider the message today a continuation of that. Today's message is called Faith Requires Love. And love is another one of the things that creates an atmosphere in order for miracles to take place. Faith does not work without love. We've got to remember that, because you could do all the meditating and all the building up you want and all the proclaiming that you want and, you know, and have all the believing that you could believe, but if you don't have love behind it, there's no spark. Love is the ignition and the power behind the faith that now ignites it so that it can explode. It's like a powerful explosion. And remember, God is love. So what is it that when we have love, we have the power of God now behind what we are believing for? So we are believing the promises of God, and that begins to build the hope. We begin to see the dream, but we also need the love there. Faith does not work without love. And so sometimes people have been working on building their faith and they get very robotic about it and very mechanical and technical, and they do all the things that I've been talking about, and then they wonder, why isn't it working? What's missing? And to create that atmosphere for miracles to take place, to get faith to work, we need love. One of the most important things, you know, remember that if you think about this, our only requirements that all the commandments can come down to two things: love God and love your neighbor. All the commandments are summed up in those two things. So what's the main requirement? Love. If you can master loving, you've got the whole thing done. It's easy. So we just have to love God and love our neighbor. And so this is what we have to think about when we want faith to work. Now we're going into the new year. In the new year, we're going to be manifesting and creating the dreams that God has been showing us, what He has been foretelling you for maybe many years in some cases. He's been speaking to you about things to come. He's been telling you who you are and what you can do and what you can have. And He's been telling you about the amazing life that He wants you to have. And now we're coming to a point where it's time to bring that from a dream, from something God has been speaking into your heart, now to manifest it in the presence. We need faith to do that, but in order for our faith to work, we need love. It requires the love. And so as we ignite that spirit of love, and this is the season of love, because if I go to this verse here, let me read this for you. This is John Chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So we know why we have Christmas. This is the whole reason right here. And it's the first thing it says, "For God so loved the world." It's God's love that put all of this in motion. God's love, and God is love, so it's God in motion, if you think about it that way. Because if God is love, then it's Him in motion making this plan happen, because He cared for us, because He loved us. He now comes down on the earth to walk amongst us, because it had gotten so dark, there was so much falsity and darkness. Imagine if we were walking around in a fog. You have a big, thick fog. And I used to live in London for a while. They'd got these incredible, thick fogs, and you could barely see where you were going. You weren't even sure what street you were on. You could walk right up to the street pole, and you still couldn't see high enough to see what the name on it was, because the fog was so thick. How do you know where to go when it's like that? You're kind of feeling your way around, and you think you're going in the right direction, right? You kind of have a feeling that, you know, that mailbox looks right, so I must be on the right street, but you're not 100% sure. And that's what it was like before God came down and walked on the earth for us spiritually. We were doing a lot of things in the physical, thinking, I think I'm doing this the right way. I think this is the way I'm supposed to be living my life. It seems like it. But the fog was so thick over us that we couldn't talk to God spiritually. For 400 years, there were no prophets in the land of Israel. Nobody was hearing from God. before that, there were always somebody, a prophet of God, who would hear from him and be able to tell the people, here's what God's telling us. For 400 years, that hadn't taken place. Because the falsities and the darkness had become so strong upon the earth that we no longer could get the signal through from God. What's he going to do? He loves us. He now has to come down into the midst of the murkiness and the fog and the darkness and bring a light. And once that light comes down and begins to shine, people begin to realize where they are. You begin to see. It's like when the fog would finally, you'd be walking along sometimes, and the fog would suddenly start to lift, and then you would look around and go, oh, good, I am on the right street. Okay. Or, oh, my house is right across the street. There I am. You know, and that's like what it's like when God comes into our life. The fog suddenly lifts, and now you can see where you are. Sometimes the fog would lift, and you would realize you were on the wrong street. You were a few blocks from your house. You know, but once God comes into our life, the light comes on, and now we can start to see where we are. Now we can make an assessment. Am I in the right place? Because now you start to know if you're in the right place or not once you see where you are. And you can change your mind. You can go like, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. This isn't right. There's something else that I'm supposed to be doing in my life. God has something else for me. I'm on the wrong street. I've got to go somewhere else. But we can't see that until the light comes in. This, see, God so loved us that he came down to walk amongst us to bring the light, to lift the darkness, so we could see where we are. Now, how do we walk in that? Now, let me go down to the next part of this. Let me continue on here, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the promise that we have, everlasting life. And it's not just a regular life, it's a life of abundance, blessing, and favor. God doesn't want you just having a mediocre life. Do you think God would have gone to all the trouble to come down and walk on the earth just for us to have a mediocre life? Seems like a lot of work for him. He could have just stayed where he was and let us have a mediocre life, right? He wants us to have a life above and beyond anything. He wants us to have a life of favor. This is what the promise is for us. The promise is for you. What he is saying to you is, he said, I love you so much, I want you to have the most amazing life, and because I love you that much, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you, assist you along the way. Isn't it great if you were walking in the fog and you didn't know where you were, if you had somebody who came along and took you by the arm and said, hey, I know where we are. You're just a few blocks from your house. Let me just guide you and lead you up there. That's a great thing to have at your side. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, I love you so much, you don't have to walk this journey alone. I'm going to walk it with you. And now he comes and takes us by the arm, and all we have to say is, man, I believe you know where we're supposed to go. I believe you. I believe you want me to have a great life. And when we say that, now he comes into our hearts. Now he's one with us. And now we can't be separated from him. So we have the love of God now on the inside. Now the love of God is inside us already. And many of you have the love of God on the inside, but we've got to remember, we got to use it. Because if you don't use it, it's like not having it. So the love of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is another way to say that, the Spirit of God is on the inside of us now. Once we say, I believe you, you know the way, let's walk together, let's work together, now God comes into your heart. Now you have that love on the inside. That's the secret ingredient that's required to get faith to work. We need to have love there. But we got to understand and know that God loves us. Here's Jesus speaking in John chapter 17 and verse 23. I am in them and you in me, this is Jesus speaking, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus is saying that you are in him and he is in God. So we're all one. We're all one. And he has also gone on to say at the very end of this that as you have loved them, and have loved them as you have loved me. So he's saying that God loved him, but he's saying that God loves you the same way. God, you know, you're all loved that same level. Because sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm not a perfect person, so God's not going to love me as much as he might have loved Jesus, because Jesus seemed to be so perfect. But that's not true. What Jesus is saying here, this is Jesus saying this himself, he is saying that God loves you as much as he loves him. You're equal, and God is loving you with the same amount of love. This is why he went to all the work to have Christmas. He went to all this work, you know, so that he could come down on the earth, because he loves you and he wanted you to receive that love, because in that fog of darkness, nobody was receiving it. Nobody even knew it. It had gotten so murky, they didn't know God loved them. They were thinking, God hates me. God's going to punish me. Oh my God, if I do something, God's going to strike me down with lightning. This is what they were thinking, because the darkness and the fog had gotten so thick. They weren't receiving or perceiving that God loved them. You know, so he has to go to this point. And this is why Jesus has to say this too, because there are some people, as he's speaking, they're still, the fog hasn't completely lifted. Even though Jesus is saying, God loves you. He's got to say to them, look, God loves you as much as he loves me. I mean, it's total and full. This is the way God loves us. And so he wants us to have that, you know, he wants us to reign in life. For us to reign in life, we've got to have that spirit of love on the inside. That's what he wants us to have. We've got to get that revelation, though, that he has that kind of love for us. Just think about it. If you get a revelation about how much God loves you, if you get a revelation about that, it's going to change your perception of who you are. A lot of people are thinking, well, I've done too many bad things. God's not going to love me. No, it didn't. Jesus didn't have specifications here. He didn't say, oh, these people are not going to be loved as much. He didn't say that. He's talking about all of us. All of us are having that same amount of love. That's how much God is. And you have to remember, God is love. The only thing, that means the characteristic of God, his only characteristic is to love. It's who he is. He can't do something else. He can't hate. He can't be angry. Now, this is what brings us back to where we are. Because if we want faith to work, we need to have that same atmosphere created in our hearts. And I think what happens sometimes in our hearts is we begin to build up things that don't work with love. God is always love because that's his character. And now his spirit of love has come into our hearts, come into our souls, and filled us up. And if we want the character or that love to be working to the same level, we have to create the right atmosphere for the love to work. And as we go through life, sometimes we experience traumas and heartache and burdens and stress, and we let this begin to build up on our hearts. We let fear begin to overcome us, or worry begin to build up on us. We start to be angry at someone, or we start to hate somebody, and we let this become our main focus. Suddenly, this is what's now we're living from this point where this heaviness is on us now. And now the love can't function, because in that environment, it's not, you know, hatred is not love, fear is not love, worry is not love. It starts to affect, and if that's our main focus, then that's what begins to be predominant, is that if we're focused on the hatred or the worry or the sadness or the grief. And we all have experiences in life. If the passing of a loved one, we suddenly feel grief, or we miss out on that promotion, or we fail in something in life, we can have some sadness and disappointment about that. Or we're frustrated because we're not reaching the levels that we think we could reach, or that we know where we're supposed to be, and we start to feel frustrated. Or that there's that person who's always talking to you, and they're a thorn in your side, and they irritate you, and they make you angry, and now you have this hatred and this anger that starts to build up. So there's all these circumstances in life that can make us feel all these negative things outside of God. And if we let that be our focus, if we get sidetracked and start to focus on all of that stuff, we're not going to be able to feel that love. Now, here's an important thing. You have choice. You have free choice. God has given us choice and we can choose how we want to feel. Now think about that, because some people think I have no choice in what I'm feeling. I'm depressed. This is the way I am. You can choose how you want to be. God has given us that free choice. And we just have to make that choice. And when we meditate on His Word, the light starts to come in. And when light comes in, it begins to lift the darkness. You can't be depressed in the light. It starts to lift it. It begins to change your heart. It's all about our focus. Now, if we decide or we choose, I'm going to be depressed or I'm depressed, and you just keep repeating that you're depressed, guess what? You're going to be depressed. You're going to be depressed. And it's the same thing with any mood that we have. But God has given us free choice. We can choose to be with God. If we want to choose to be with God, it means we want to always be in the state of love. And God's made it easy. Because God came and walked on the earth. Not only did He come and walk on the earth so that He could help to lead us and lift the fog so that we would know where we were, He also came to say, if you got anything that's being a burden to you, if you got sadness or worry or fear or depression that's weighing you down and preventing you from receiving My love, I'll take it from you. I'll take it from you right now. Give it to Me right now and I'll take it off of you so that you can have that everlasting life of abundance and goodness. And it's your choice. It's your choice. If you choose to stay in that state of depression or sadness or worry or anger, it's your choice. Nobody else is choosing that. God's given us free choice. It's up to you. But if you choose that you want to be in that state of love, if you choose that, yes, I want to let the Spirit of God continue to shine out of my heart, if that's the choice you're making, it's very easy. You just choose it. You begin to focus on those things that God lifts us up out of so that He can put us into that loving state, and we can give all of that stuff that's been weighing us down, we can give it to Jesus and He'll take it off of our hearts immediately. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately it'll be taken out of your hearts. I want you to listen to this because I think sometimes we don't completely understand how powerful the love of God is. Because once you've invited God to come into your heart, you have His Spirit on the inside, a Spirit of love. The Spirit of love is greater than any of the traumas that are going to try to knock you down. And I say knock you down because they try to defeat us. They try to demoralize us. But you can stay focused on where God is taking you, and His love will continue to carry you higher. You will not be defeated or knocked down by the situations and circumstances of your life. In fact, He will help you to get back up because His love is always with you. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He's talking about the Lord. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying there's nothing, he believes there's nothing that can separate us from that love. I believe that too. I believe that once we invite that, that Spirit of God into our hearts, once we have said, I believe, and we receive that Spirit of love, there is nothing that can separate you unless you choose to dwell in the depression, or you choose to dwell in the sadness, or you choose to dwell in the anger. It's your choice. It's a choice we should make every day, though. If we know we can't be separated from the love of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what the situation was. Doesn't matter how traumatic it was. Here's a great story of how that works. Joseph. You guys know Joseph? Joseph had a lot of brothers. He had 11 brothers. And Joseph had the Spirit of God upon him. Joseph had a lot of reasons in his life to get angry, to get upset, to get frustrated. Because what happened to Joseph is, as the Spirit of God was speaking and working through Joseph, his brothers began to be jealous of him. they could see there was something different about him. And his father saw it too, and his father kind of favored him because he could see there was something special about him. But his brothers became angry. And his brothers, that one day when he came out to check on them in the field, they sold him into slavery. They stripped him of his clothes and they threw him into a pit. And when the slave traders came by, they sold him into slavery. And then when he got, he was bought by Potiphar. And he was working in Potiphar's house. And again, Potiphar, his owner, could see there was something special about this guy. And so he put him in charge of the whole house. Now he's in the house, he's doing really well, the whole property is thriving, everything that Potiphar's got is multiplying and increasing because of Joseph, because of the work Joseph is hearing from the Lord. He has favor in God's eyes. And it even says, I love how it says this in the scripture, it says, and Joseph was a successful man. He's a slave. Yeah. He's got nothing. You know, he's got less than nothing. And yet it says in the Bible, he's a successful man. And I'll talk to you about that in a second here. But as it goes along, Potiphar's wife finds Joseph very attractive because she also sees there's something special about this guy. But Joseph rejects her, you know, her advances, and she gets scorned by that. And now she gives a bad report to Potiphar and says, he tried to attack me. And so he gets thrown into prison. So Joseph is now falsely accused and in prison. And in the prison again, the warden of the prison sees there's something special about this Joseph guy, and he puts him in charge of the entire prison. And so now Joseph runs the prison, basically, and everything is thriving, and the conditions of the prison are better than they ever were. The food is better, the conditions are cleaner, everything's working so smoothly. They're making some money on this thing as well because Joseph's got guidance from God, and things are happening, Then a couple of guys come into the prison, and they used to work for Pharaoh. But right now, they're kind of in Pharaoh's bad books, you know. And one of them is the butler, and the other one's the baker. And basically, they have these dreams. And in these dreams, one of them dreams about, well, I don't want to get into the dreams really, but basically, Joseph interprets their dreams. And one of them loses their head. The baker, because he did something bad that Pharaoh didn't like. The other one gets his job back. So the guy, the butler, got his job back. He asked the butler, he said, since I interpreted this dream for you and I told you what was going to happen, please remember me and mention to Pharaoh that I'm here. I'm not supposed to be here. And what happens is the butler goes off and forgets all about Joseph, never puts in a good word. And so Joseph's still stuck in the prison. But then Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody knows how to interpret Pharaoh's dream. That's when the butler remembers this guy. It's been a couple years have gone by already. He says, oh, there was this guy in the prison who could understand dreams. And now he brings Joseph out. Joseph helps Pharaoh understand his dream. And once Pharaoh understands what's going to happen, he puts Joseph in charge of the entire country because he sees there's something special in this guy. He's now in charge of the entire country, except for Pharaoh's the only one that's above him. Now, because of this, Joseph was able to save Egypt because a famine came upon the land, and that's what Pharaoh's dream was telling him. And he was able to also take care of his own family. My point is that there were many reasons along the way for Joseph to get upset. He could have got depressed. He could have got angry at the brothers. He could have had hatred in his heart and wanted to hurt those guys. But if he would have let that be upon him, Potiphar never would have saw that he was special, because the favor of God would not have shone through the anger and the hatred he could have had. He had many physical reasons to be upset. Trials and tribulations affected this guy. For no reason, it wasn't his fault. He wasn't making bad decisions. He was making good decisions. And yet, bad things were happening along the way. He could have gotten bitter. He could have been depressed. He could have been sad. But then I don't believe he would have rose to the top every single time, because the love of God wouldn't have been shining out of his heart. He overcame all of those conditions because he let go. He didn't have the anger at the brothers. He wasn't upset or depressed when Potiphar's wife lied on him. He just kept keeping his heart open, and the favor of God kept working through him. And no matter who was saying what or doing what to him, he was continually rising to the top until he became the highest guy in the entire land. Egypt being the most powerful country in the world at that time. And he's leading it. Except for Pharaoh, who's a figurehead right now. He's the one making all the decisions. That can happen in our life too. But for that to happen in our life, we've got to let go of traumas and resentments and hatred and sadness. We've got to let it go so the love of God can shine through our hearts. God wants to raise you up. He wants to raise you up to a position of importance. 2016 is coming. And we might have had failures in 2015. We might have had fallen short of things. We might feel like we never quite made it. We weren't quite good enough. Maybe you're harboring some resentment at somebody. Today is the day to let it go. Today is the day to hand it over to God and let it go so that He can shine love out of your heart. Because faith works, doesn't work without love. We need the love of God to be flowing out of us. Today is the day to release everything from this past year. Kick it to the curb, let it go. God will take it from you immediately. Say immediately.
Immediately.
He'll take it from you right away. All you have to do is choose. He's made it easy. We just have to say, yes, God, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be the guy that lets that stuff just roll right off my back. Because God can promote you the very next minute. Notice how every single time something happened that looked like it was supposed to take Joseph down, his brothers sell him into slavery. Why? Because he suddenly is overseeing them. His father put him in charge of looking and watching over the brothers. Well, he's the second youngest of these guys. That probably didn't sit very well with them. But he put him in charge because he could see there was something special. The favor of God was upon him. His brothers sell him into slavery, trying to knock him down. But what happens? He keeps his heart open. He doesn't let resentment or anger or sadness or depression bring him down. Because his heart is open, Potiphar sees again the favor of God upon this guy. And again, he promotes him and puts him to the top of the whole household. He's running everything. Potiphar's not even watching because he knows this guy has something special on him. Again, somebody tries to bring him down. Potiphar's wife lies. Gets him thrown into prison. Again, they're trying to bring him down. Again, Joseph doesn't hold that. He lets it roll off his back. He doesn't hold on to the regret or the resentment. He's not saying, that woman. He's not talking about that woman for years. His heart is open and still the favor of God. And once again, he gets in the prison and he's risen to the top. They can't keep the guy down. Say amen to that.
Amen.
No matter what, he does a good deed for the butler. The butler's supposed to put in a good word for Pharaoh, get him out of jail. He forgets. Does he get bitter about that? Does he start talking about that darn butler? If I ever see him again, you know, I'll get even with him. No. He lets it roll off his back. He keeps his heart open. The love of God keeps working. And when the love of God is working, faith is working. And it's always rising to the top. And next thing you know, he finds himself leading the entire country. Most powerful country in the world. That's the way God works for us too. For God to work like that in our life, we've got to have it like water off a duck's back. The angers and the worries and the fears and the sadness, let it roll off. Let the heart stay open because you're thinking that this event today is bringing you down. That's the event that if you let it just roll off of you, the traumas of that, God is going to lift you up to a new level. He's got a greater position for you. How would Joseph have become the leader of Egypt if he hadn't gone through these things? He never would have been in Egypt. All these events and circumstances were leading him to his destiny of what he was meant to do. And he even says that when he meets his brothers years later. He says, because of you, you were doing the will of God. Because of you, I'm here today. And because I'm here leading Egypt now, I have prepared for this famine that's going to last 7 years. Meaning the people of Egypt are not going to starve. And I can also provide for you, my family, because I've laid up grain. So all these things happen to put me in my rightful position. The things that are happening to you today may not feel very good when you're going through them. But if you can let it roll off your back, you'll be lifted to the position where you're meant to be. All the circumstances that are trying to bring you down are the chance for God to lift you up to a greater level. It is your chance to step into a new level. I believe that 2016, we are going to be stepping into the greatest level of our lives. Our greatest days are still ahead of us. And today, right now, as we let go of all the traumas and the fears and the worries and the things that have tried to bring us down, let it roll off your back right into God's hands. He's going to open that heart and the power of love is going to go in there. People are going to begin to see who you are. They're going to see you belong in a great position. You belong in a great house. You belong in a great suit. You belong in a great life. They're going to begin to see where you are supposed to be, and you're going to start getting promotions and raises and bonuses. You're going to start getting healed and strengthened. Your health is going to grow. No matter what has come against you, it doesn't matter, because God is going to use it to lift you and get you right to where you were planned. God planned from the foundation of the earth that Joseph should lead Egypt. That was the plan, from the foundation of the world. Meaning before Joseph's parents were ever born, the plan of God was already set in place. Because Joseph kept his heart open and let God's love work through it, faith was now able to go to work. Faith was working all the time, promoting Joseph in spite of situations and circumstances. Joseph's moving to new levels all the time. The same thing can happen for you. That's the plan of God for you. He's got a great plan from the foundation of the world for you too. And all you've got to do is open that heart and let the love pour out. As His love pours out of you, all things will be changed. Say amen to that.
Amen.